I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The following is a production of Dirty Mo Media.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of The Teardown. My name is Jeff Gluck, and I'm along with my very tired, sleepy coworker, Jordan Bianchi, who is at Richmond Raceway, where he had to power through probably what was a tempting nap to get to a good ending of the race, or at least...
It was an ending.
An ending.
I don't know if it was good or not. I'm really curious for a lot of reasons on what you thought of the race. Like, did it make it worth the while? What did we think of the ending? A lot of questions.
At least we have something to talk about. Where
we do, yeah.
For a decent amount of that race, I was like, I was in a bad mood all night too. I don't know.
You're in a bad mood.
It started out really well with like the wet weather tires.
I'm like, man, this
is so cool. Like,
yeah.
Wow, look at this. Like, it's working.
It's like Bristol. We saved it.
It's a completely different track. Look at them. Like, and you're like, man, they sped up the start of the race. Yeah. Elton Sawyer from NASCAR afterwards told you guys at the hauler that saved, he thought, maybe about an hour. Mm-hmm. And you're like, whoa, they're rolling, you know? And then... like it was like this glorious 30 laps and nobody was wrecking. It was just working.
They were passing side by side. You had comers and goers. You had everything.
Yeah. They were, I mean, it wasn't just like they were tiptoeing that much. I didn't feel like you had guys going for it and
yeah,
it was
changes.
Really cool. And I was just like, man, boy, this just shows you right here. It's not Richmond. It's the tires, you know? But then like, and I guess we'll just start going in order here. Maybe we can hop around cause we definitely want to talk about the ending, but just like the start of my bad mood, I guess. I was just like, all right, well, now NASCAR is going to dictate when they can put on the slick tires. So they're going to throw a competition caution here. And, okay, so, you know, competition caution. Everybody's going to come down and take their wet weather tires off. And I was like, well, I was enjoying this. I would have liked to see the teams try to see, you know, when they wanted to switch over themselves as part of the strategy. You know, so then and they call the caution. And they're like, all right, well, we're going to do non-competitive pit stops, but first we got to like dry pit road more. So they dry pit road for like 10 laps, but it's not enough to like actually still have competitive pit stops. So then they throw a red basically, but it's like a moving red. So like they come down, like you can't lose your position. And this is not like the dirt race where you could like be like, okay, I can kind of understand that. This is like a points race on a major track that they've been racing at for years. It's just like, whoa, what's going on? And, you know, people are saying, well, the pit road is still too damp. You don't want to have them come down and risk that. But like, as they're doing that, as they're saying that, they're spending all these laps under caution, drying it anyway. And like, what's the point? I mean, you started the race earlier. It's like, well, we got it started early, but the track, I mean, pit road wasn't ready for the race apparently. And then later they had to, you know, at the end of the stage, what they had to run out the stage and they're like, well, it's still not ready. So now we got to dry it again. And they dried enough to get competitive pit stops for the end of stage one, but that's, you know, 70 laps into the race and you've spent all this time, 17 laps under caution the first time, 15 the second time to dry the pit road. Well, if it wasn't ready, then don't start the race because then you wasted all this time anyway. So it's like you're celebrating on one hand, oh, they got it started. But for what? I felt like the whole first stage was just like, I was getting so mad. Anyway, I just went on a rant to start this. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry.
But no, this is glorious. Cook, baby.
No. Anyway, what was your take on how that all started, I guess?
I largely agree with you. I do think I understand NASCAR's logic of, like, listen, they got the race started before. I get the idea of throwing a lap 30 caution. You know, this is only the third time they've really done this in these kind of conditions. The first time in a points race for the Cup Series. So they're still, Elton Sawyer said this afterwards, they're still kind of figuring this out a little bit. And, you know, eventually they would like to get to the point that you said where the teams kind of dictate when you switch off them, that kind of thing. The pit road thing, it's like I go back and forth. You know, part of me is like, you know, again, if it's wet, and again, you know how this goes, Jeff, they dry the track more than they dry the pit road, and the cars are on there, so it's hard to dry it. If they can throw that caution on lap 30 and zip pit road and zip down pit road really quick and get that thing dry, I'm okay with it. I was okay with that. But I felt like this was too much because then you do it again at the end of the stage break, right? And this just became like, wait a second, this is becoming excessive. This is becoming too much. And then how long does it take to dry pit road? Like, that's my question. Like, it feels like you have the teams are working on their boxes continuously. They've got the squeegees out there. They've got the fans. They've got all this stuff. They're doing this during the race. I just felt like you hit a point like, it is what it is. And I understand you got to be careful. And the NASCAR's worried about cars coming down pit road and getting, you know, in water and hydroplaning and hitting crew members or anything. But this is part of it. And I feel like, to your point, like, you got the race started. That is worth the wet weather package worked to that point. But you ended up wasting a lot of time on the back end. And you had a lot of downtime. Maybe it doesn't matter because you were the original start time and when the race started was about 19 minutes. So you're only 19 minutes behind your scheduled start time. Maybe it doesn't matter because you're going, you're racing. People are watching at home and they're into it and they're willing to wait. And they just kind of view it like a quarter break or something. But again, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of downtime. And it just felt excessive to a point of like, this has got to be more efficient. There has to be a better way to do this.
All right. I got 3 points that I thought of while you were talking there.
Sure.
And I don't even know if I remember all of them. But the first one is, you know, talking about, hey, like, you know, NASCAR had to throw a competition caution because they weren't really sure what this tire was going to do. And, you know, this is only the third time they've done this. Well, just recently at Bristol, nobody knew what the tire was doing. They didn't call a competition caution to save the teams from themselves. They let everybody figure it out. They just figured it out until they started, you know, cording the tires, and then they pitted when they needed to. So, you know, if they're going to call competition caution, it's like, well, this is still so early on this tire. Let them figure it out. Like, you just did that. But so second of all, I understand like the pit road part of it being wet. But first of all, they're coming in on rain tires, wet weather tires. So what you do that at road courses, right? They do that at road courses. They come mm-hmm. down. They don't wait till pit road gets dried at a road mm-hmm. course when they're coming down to do a competitive pit stop. Mm-hmm. They're on the same wet weather rain tires mm-hmm. coming into the pits. I could see maybe if it was on slicks and they were coming and pit road was wet and they're like, well, we don't want somebody to slide into a pit crew member, right? But like they've done this before. This is just the first time that it was on an oval in a points race. So mm-hmm. that's where I'm like, well, I just don't understand what's going on right now. That was very confusing to me. And I was just like, I just, none of this is making sense. I don't know if that's, maybe I'm totally off pace.
No, here. I mean, you make a really good point about the road courses. And remember Watkins Glen, was it 2 years ago? They started the race in wet conditions and that was wild. And they let teams dictate their strategy. I get this is an oval, so it's a little bit different. The pit road thing is a good question. If you were willing to do that at Watkins Glen 2 years ago, why, what was the difference now? And I don't know. I don't have the answer to that question. That's a question for NASCAR, and it's a good question. And it's probably one that needs to be answered. It's tough. The bottom line is the wet weather package worked. It got the race started in a relatively quickly amount of time, which I mean, I went from like, this race is going to be delayed to, oh, by the way, it's starting, which is great. But it's just, again, it was just a lot of downtime that can be just sawed off. And I will say NASCAR knows this. I mean, talking to Elton Sawyer after the race, like they realize like this, they need to work on that. And this is still, they're still working this out, but that's a lot. And I think you make a good point of like, you could, if this is how it's going to be, you could have done this at the beginning and just waited and just had a race. I'm not sure, but it did get a little prolonged there.
Well, and you look, you make a good point in that this largely, despite my complaints just now, this is a very positive development, right? Because the fact that you're like, hey, this, yeah, it just stopped raining not that long ago. And suddenly, you know, you're still, Denny Hamlin was on TV. I know you were probably on Pit Road. Denny Hamlin's on TV. They had pulled him into Fox and he's doing an interview and they get like maybe one question in and they're like, oh, hey, they just said 5 minutes till engines. You got to go. It happened very quickly. And, you know, when you're thinking, as you said, oh, it's probably going to be a pretty decent delay here. And that's very different than we've seen in the past. That's a very positive thing for fans, for drivers, for everybody, you know, to try to get this thing in, especially like, let's say, you know, like, look, they ended up getting the whole race in, but what if this was the difference, you know, starting early or whatever, or getting it, you know, an hour earlier than it would have been between, you know, not getting the race in tonight at all, or, you know, having, you know, if rain had come, you know, around the midpoint of the race or something. So, you know, it's all a positive development. I just want them to be like, hey, like, let's let the teams, you know, decide, is the track drying or not? Like, is it time to go to these tires? And let's make that call. Cause that's an interesting part of the race. That's fast. That's what that F1 is like. The only good thing about F1 is when it rains lately. And you see that, you know? Yeah.
No, I mean, I agree with you. And I'm not trying to be a NASCAR apologist here. Cause I do agree with you, but I just want to say like that from what Elton said tonight, it's like they understand that and they want to get to the point. It's just like they're hesitant because of like, hey, this is the first time we've kind of done this in a situation like this. And, I get it. It's just, I guess it's like this is, you know, let the team sink or swim. And you make a good point about Bristol. Like, if you're going to let them do that at Bristol, why not here? And I don't disagree with you. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how this manages going forward and what we learned tonight, too. Is there's a real fine line of what conditions you can do this in and what you can't. And because it has to be like almost optimal of, you know, rain has to be basically stopped. The track has to be largely dry, no spray, no condensation in the cars, those kind of things. You have to be very careful about that. It worked out perfectly. You're going to be interested to see how they manage this going forward, learning from this.
So, I mean, and I don't want to beat a dead horse here, and I probably already am, but like, so then they're starting to go back to green, right? But like the drivers were saying, well, the track's not ready yet. So they had told everybody, they had the team put on slicks, and they said, okay, it's time to do that, right? We called a competition, it's time to put on slicks. So everybody starts going out there, and the drivers are like, well, the track's kind of still damp, thumbs down, you know? And so they're like, all right, well, let's pick up the speed under yellow, 10, 15 miles an hour, and try to run faster speeds. But then again, I'm like, well, to just let the teams put on the wet weather tires until it's, I just like, oh, man. All right. I'll drop this because I know it's,
no, I mean,
we have a lot of other things to talk about, but.
Yeah. So
all right,
stage two happens. They're off the wet weather tires.
All right. You want to keep going in order?
I mean, I think that's the thing. I think we're getting to the point, which is at the end of the day, stage one happened and it felt like two different races. Like
stage one, you could just throw it away pretty much.
Because
it was just.
It was so different and it was good. It was great. And then you get to, let's just start with stage two. It's probably the best way to like do this. You go stage two forward. This then became or reverted back to a very typical Richmond race. Is that good or bad? I guess it depends on what you like, but this is a very typical Richmond race that just felt dull.
Well, I mean, for stage two, it was exactly as advertised, right? So I was trying to keep a much more open mind this year to Richmond than I have because everybody's like, look, the strategy, one stop or two, here we go, baby. Like, what's going to prevail? And you had that. It was setting up for a little bit. Like, is Larson's strategy going to prevail or is Truex's strategy going to prevail? Yeah. And you had them coming and going and you're like, you know, Larson comes out. He's like 19th. He's going to have to come all the way around the track. Is it going to work? I don't know. You know, at the end of the stage, or when the caution ultimately comes out, Cliff Daniel says he thinks it would have worked. But
we got to talk about that caution, by the way.
Yeah, and that's what it's going to get into. The caution ruined the whole thing of stage two, the whole strategy.
Yeah,
like Kyle Busch hits the wall, and
we saying hit. I mean, he like grazed.
Okay,
grazed.
There was some contact with the wall. It was described on the race report as number 8 incident turn 2.
So technically that was, I guess.
quick trigger, very quick, right? I'm sure NASCAR would acknowledge it was quick trigger. And just, I mean, you guys asked Elton Sawyer about it. What was his explanation for the
They saw a car up in the wall. He was slow. They weren't sure what was going on. And on a short track, they're going to be quick to go the caution flag.
And it sounded like from the video I watched, I think he said something like, I don't know if he had a brake issue or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But
didn't know if tire brake, what, you know.
That's fine, except that is not how they've been officiating things recently, I feel like. Because it feels like
I would agree.
They've gotten so much better at like really trying to let the race play out. And, you know, like I think in the Xfinity race, it was Haley Deegan. I think she had lost power or something. Mm-hmm. And she was crawling around late in the race yesterday.
Handful of laps left, like 4 or 5 laps left.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, this could be it. I don't know if she's going to make it back to pit road. Keselowski and Logano, I think, were in the booth. They're like, I don't know. And then, and she made it. They let it play out, and she got back, and it was great.
As they should, because she was out of the way. She was below the apron. Like that was how you should handle that situation.
So, and I think that their general philosophy has really gone so much toward that. I mean, the whole phantom debris caution stuff is gone. I mean,
thought about that. You're right. Like, when's the last time we've had that debate?
No, it doesn't happen anymore. Like, they really, really let races play out. And for the most part, I think the races have been great. I don't think you need it. Now, this race, you know, wasn't super great, but at least you had the strategy in stage two that was unfolding the way we thought. So then this caution comes out, and it's just so odd because, like, essentially, even though it wasn't technically in the middle of a green flag pit cycle, It essentially was, right? Like, because
it was
because the way the strategies were playing out, like Larson had not had his strategy play out yet.
And he was counting on Truex was going to have to pit again. There was no debate about that. And the 5 team was counting on Truex having to pit again, and they dictated their strategy around that.
Correct. But at Atlanta, we know, was it Byron and McDowell spun?
Correct.
It collided at the entrance to pit road during a green flag cycle, and NASCAR did not throw it then. And they said it was because they did not come back up into the groove. And I believe at the time we have Elton Sawyer quotes here. Do you want to read them, or you want me to read them?
You fire them up. I've got a lot going on over here. It's very tenuous.
Oh, why? What's going
on? Well, I'm afraid if I start reaching over, I'm going to knock over my
setup. Oh, you're going to ruin your whole setup. You're going to ruin your whole setup.
Yeah, I'm literally balancing on like a berry box. Blackberry fruit box and like everything. And so like it's a little sketchy.
Wow, what a setup. Okay, well.
This is, you know. Yeah.
We looked up these quotes. You found them during the race because I was like, wait, didn't they just say for Atlanta that we don't. So this is what Elton Sawyer had said after Atlanta. Was this on Sirius, Jordan? I want to give credit where credit's
due. Yes, his typical Tuesday morning.
So this is from Atlanta. He said, they make contact. They both spun. Very quickly, they're going in the right direction. We're in a situation where we're having, obviously, green flag pit stops. So we're going to do everything we can, unless it presents a safety issue, to stay green, if we can. Because throwing a caution at that point in time has a lot of negative consequences. It can ruin someone's race if we throw a caution. They get trapped a couple laps down, can't get those laps back. So we really try to stay out of that if we can. But in this situation, and obviously, you know, I reading between the lines of what he said afterwards, you know, would they like to have that back? Probably, right? Tonight, I'm talking about. But, you know, temporarily, it put Larson in a bad position because he was only able to get back to fourth for the rest of that stage after restarting six. And it kind of ruined Alex Bowman's night.
It killed Bowman's night.
And he was top five.
Yeah.
He was a top five car. He ends up finishing 17th because he got trapped a lap down. He had to take the wave around, stayed out, old tires, got lapped at the end of the stage. Over. Yeah. He was done with the way you can't pass. So again, like, I don't think it was on purpose to do this, and I don't think it was an entertainment caution. I legitimately think they're looking and they see something and it's a reaction, but lately they haven't been reacting that way. So unfortunately, it messed up stage two.
This is only the second short track race really of the year, right? I mean, points race, and so, you know, but you go back to Bristol though, and same thing. You had guys going much slower, sometimes limping around the racetrack, And there was a lot of conjecture after the race. Not a lot, but there was some conjecture after the race of, you know, is that safe? Should NASCAR throw in
cautions?
The DBC
guys. I mean, that whole 100%, yeah. Big argument about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had no issue with how NASCAR did. I think they handled the officiating at Bristol. I thought they were 100% across the board. I thought they did everything right. I get where they look at Kyle Busch. He's in turn one, turn two, and he's like slow. He's up against the wall, and you're like, oh, that doesn't look good. I get it. It just, he was also able to get going pretty quickly to the point he was like 11th in that restart or so. You know, he was, you know, in the caution there and everything cycled out. He basically lost no track position, you know. And so it's a bad look when the guy who caused the caution, you know, gets going right away and then, you know, restarts, you know, right near the front. And yeah, if they could have had that over again, I think they absolutely would have done that differently. But it's a tough sequence, and it was just a bad look. It was a really bad look. And it again, you could argue it ruined Larson's night because he never got track position back. Like he, you know, in a track, and we're going to get into on a track where track position is everything, and it's really hard to pass, and everybody's kind of running equal speeds. You need track position. He never got back into the lead ever, and he lost it there, and it killed Bowman's night, and it killed some other drivers too.
Well, Larson ends up getting the lead briefly on the pit stop, where and Truex immediately passed him with that great move.
Yeah, but not
controlled
in
the race
that he had. Yeah,
right. I'm already. I tell you what, I can't wait to hear what Freddie is going to say, because he's been on the caution thing lately, very opinionated about it. So I will be setting my notifications for DBC
tomorrow
on that one,
right,
and of course, actions detrimental, because ultimately it comes down to a restart. Denny Hamlin wins this race. I'm going to sit here and argue that.
Did he jump it?
I think he jumped it. What do you think? Have you looked at the replay yet?
Yeah, I did look at the replay. I mean, I don't want to use the word jump. I just think he gamed the system.
I mean, what's your definition of jumped?
I don't know. Like,
he went early. Like, that's jumping.
It seemed like he kind of rolled, like he was rolling into it, and
that's what they said on TV. He rolled before the line. He rolled early.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean, I'm
jumping.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, I don't have a problem with how he did it, because he, like, you're kind of forcing NASCAR's hand of, like,
oh no, I'm not. Look, wait, hold on a sec. Whether he did the right thing to win the race and whether he jumped the restart are two different issues. I completely understand why he did it. And I think, as they again said on TV, everything he did at the end was perfect from his standpoint. Yeah. He jumped the restart before they could do it, knowing that he was going to have to. Look, it was close. NASCAR said afterwards, Elton Sawyer again, we reviewed that. We looked at it. Obviously, the 11 was the control vehicle. It was awful close, but we deemed it to be a good restart. So he knew, hey, it's going to be close. I'm going to go as close as I can here. Put it in NASCAR's hands. They want to penalize me, fine, but I'm going to go. Uh-huh. And he said, you know, in his press conference, he saw them starting to roll a little bit early, and he wasn't going to let them get that advantage. And then he races Truex up the track. Again, I don't have a problem with that at all. You're going for the win. Everybody does what they have to do on these races. They use people up at the end. So, okay, that's fine. But that, whether he did the right thing or not, is not what we're talking about. Did he jump it? Did he violate the rule, essentially? Should NASCAR have called that?
By the letter of the law. By the letter of the law, they should have called it. Absolutely. I mean, it was there was enough there where you look at that and you're like, ooh, yeah, that's, I wouldn't even say it's close. Like, it was pretty, it wasn't like he was up against the line. It was like there was a sizable gap between where he was and the line was when he started going forward at a speed. And it wasn't even close. And yeah, I mean, you NASCAR should have penalized him by the way I looked at it. But I don't know. I love going for it in that situation, though, because, like, you got a win in your back pocket already. It's not like you're already locked in the playoffs. So, like, why not make NASCAR make that call? And I don't feel like it's a call they're going to make.
He wasn't going to win until this late caution comes out, because Martin Truex was dominating the race. He was going to win. Obviously, he's rolling. It's what, two laps to go or whatever. Larson and Wallace get into it. I mean, Truex led 228 laps. And you know, it's going to be an easy win. It's going to be, you know, he's got it. So if you're Denny, you know, you're looking at, you're going to finish third because Logano, you couldn't get past Logano. But I will say this. So Josh Wise, who many of you know, obviously former driver, is now like this performance coaching guru for a lot of the Chevrolet drivers, right? And not only does he help these drivers have, you know, fitness stuff and healthy eating, but he goes through a lot of these strategies with them. And I thought he had some really interesting tweets about all this afterwards. One that I retweeted, and then he ended up getting some responses, and I just want to read some of these tweets. So he starts by saying, NASCAR has always allowed flexibility on the restart box entry. There would be dozens of wins overturned if they had a hard line in this. He also says, sorry, I lost it here. A late race, green, white, checkered. It's well known, especially in the Cup Series, fire early. So he has studied these, right? Like, he studies these restarts and tells drivers what to do. And he's saying that it's well known, you got to go early in that zone. Also, somebody mentions that, well, Truex backed up to try to get a good run himself. And Josh Wise says, exactly, if there isn't some soft flexibility on the box, P2 can solve for all of the leaders' launch options. And he also says, just to be clear to many of the responses, I'm not responsible for the creation of enforcement of the rules, only offering an observation. So he's basically saying, look, this is how it goes. This is how it works. Yeah. Okay. Like,
which is,
and that's what Denny did. So he executed it perfectly. I understand why Truex is mad. I mean, he had it, and then his teammate, he feels like jumps a start and runs him up the track. It was kind of hilarious to see Truex like lose his mind. He never does that. He's taken out on poor Larson. Larson's like, what did I do?
Yeah, he was frustrated. I mean, he won, lost a race. Okay, I counted really quick. This is the sixth time by my math. Sixth time he's led 100-plus laps at Richmond and not won. And if you remember some of those races, like 2017, that late Derek Cope caution, like there's been some circumstances here that are out of his control where like it's like, what's going on here? So six times he's led 100-plus laps at Richmond, not won. Obviously the restart he's upset about. He felt like Denny kind of did him dirty there and pushed him up the track and didn't race him, you know, didn't race him like a teammate should. And then the Larson thing, whatever. And it was like, man, I guess you just add all that up and throw that into a blender late. And that's what you get is upset Truex. I will say once he got out of the race car though, so Truex is on one side and like three cars down is Larson. And you're wondering like, and both these guys are not confrontational guys. But you are wondering, like, all right, what's, you know, is this the moment where Martin, like, loses it? Because everybody's got that moment. Is this, and he gets out, he's frustrated, and you can tell he's really frustrated, and kind of takes a second, and, like, he was largely, you know, he just compartmentalized, and he, no confrontation, no whatever. He was obviously frustrated, and you could see that in his interviews, but not what you'd expect for some guys.
I told you to go the wrong place. I never know when one of us at the track and, you know, it is. So, you know, we typically watch the end of the race in the media center and then you're just run as soon as the checkered flag, you're running to pit road.
Yeah.
Because typically the media center has some sort of distance between pit road. You've got to at least get down to pit road where the drivers are stopped. So you really don't see what happens in the first few moments after the checkered flag. So I'm texting you. I'm like, get to Truex. Truex is mad. Holy cow. Get to Truex. And you're like, I'm on it. And then
I was already there when I got your text, and I was like, I literally had eyes on both, like the way it's set up, and, you know, because they both finished top five, the way they set this up is like they were right there, and you could like see them both. And again, I was like wondering, like, you know, Larson's not going to go down, and it's just not Larson's style, and Larson's, you know,
Larson
whatever.
Had such a great reaction. He was just from his MRN interview to his TV interview to the stuff I saw with you guys. He's just kind of laughing, like. Yeah, I guess he's just taking it out on me. Like,
even the Bubba thing though. Like, he was great with Bubba. Bubba came down and he's like, and he's like, you know, like, oh, I'm sorry. And Bubba's like, all good. Like, all worked out. And it's like, he was just completely chill.
And Bubba had a great thing too. I mean, Bubba's apologizing, and then Bubba's saying, "Man, karma got me back right away because he had a bad pit stop or whatever, loose wheel, I think, and had to back up. So he was going to finish fourth or something, and he ends up finishing 13th.
For sure.
Yeah. So that, you know, he said karma got me right away. Larson's just hilarious in these situations.
Just rolls with it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I could have that just sort of like,
no, that's definitely not you. That's definitely what? Not you. You are not a role.
How could you
person.
Say that about me? Wow.
Because I know you so well. That's why.
After you just heard me rant for like 20 straight minutes on this show.
Yeah. You're not.
I have a cool, calm, collected.
You are. Your temperament is comparable to Martin Truex Jr. in traffic late in a race when he's leading.
Okay. I thought you were going to say Martin Truex Jr. after that race in particular. Just
No, because that was like a fleeting, that was a rare Truex moment. Like, you're Truex on the chip in traffic trying to navigate as he's leading a race.
Yeah, but this year, I do want to point out, yes, I'm criticizing NASCAR tonight. You know, I didn't love a lot of the calls or decisions or whatever. But like, I've been so positive this year. People have been like, you're carrying NASCAR's water. You're a NASCAR apologist, blah, yeah. blah, blah. So, yeah. I mean, I just think that the racing has, you know, been good for the most part. And the calls, I feel like they've been making the calls I agree with. I haven't really had anything to pick too many bones with, I guess. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's been really disappointing because I really do enjoy the Jeff Gluck meltdown. No, this is not at all. Like, this is minor on the scale. Like, this is really is pretty.
I didn't feel like it was a meltdown, but
no, you've had some. Like, the rants are the Jeff Gluck rants are so good. Like, to the point of like, I was really, when we started this deal with Dirty Mo, I was like, man, it's gonna be great at the end of the year. They're gonna compile like a best of Jeff Gluck rant,
and I hadn't had one like all year.
Yeah, it's like this compilation. I'm like, man, the hell, this is gonna suck.
All right, thanks for the truth comes out.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right. Well, Jordan, you know, what did you think, you know, Richmond overall? Okay. Like, we're here again. And for a lot of this race, I'm like, you know, couldn't pass another long Richmond race where you're just like, it's just this, I just feel like, oh my gosh, we're going to have to come on the podcast again and talk about the same things we talk about every time about Richmond. Is this place going to keep really having two races? I mean, at this point, like, I just...
No, okay. It's not. So you want my opinion or do you want fact? Like, do you want me to give
what's your take? I mean, how do you see this going?
Okay, so Richmond has been on the chopping block of losing a second date for a while now. That is a fact. Like, that has been reported. We've reported it. We've talked to you. It has been... You know, this NASCAR looks at everywhere else and where, how to move their schedule around. They're running out of tracks to take dates from. That is a fact. And Richmond is considered, from the conversation that I've had with people, Richmond is considered likely to lose a second date at some point. And from the conversation I've had with people, that very well could happen next year. That's what I'm going to report that. I'm going to write something on The Athletic. You're going to see that hopefully tomorrow. It's just the way it is. As NASCAR looks to go to different races, where are they going to pull from? And you've got to look at it. And, you know, we looked at the number during the race, and you're going to have to help me out here. It's what? Dover, Michigan, Pocono, Texas. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but what else is there?
Yeah, you asked me about this, and then... Dover, tracks that have lost second dates in recent years, and some of them have lost more than one date. But Dover, Fontana, Michigan, New Hampshire, Pocono, Texas. Charlotte lost a race, but that was their third race.
Yep.
Darlington and Atlanta both lost one race and then got those races back.
Yep.
Fontana obviously then lost its other race as well and is gone. And then obviously Kentucky lost a race, but that was its only race.
Yeah. But we're talking tracks that had two dates, and they have said, like, hey, this is better for, one, competitive reasons. This track isn't producing great racing. And secondly, the demand isn't there to warrant a second date. So my reporting is like, Richmond is in danger of losing that race. That is very much so. It was, from my reporting, it almost lost a race last year. and it was kind of a last minute thing of, hey, no, we're racing there twice. This is a legacy track. It's been here, NASCAR's racing here decades and decades. We don't want to do that. So now this is my opinion. Okay. My opinion is I like strategy races. I like it. It's interesting. It puts it in the crew chief's hands. It's something we don't see every week. I like the different tire strategies and when to pit and all that thing. I think that's a good thing because otherwise these races all kind of play out the same way, right? And you need that variety on the schedule. I think that's a really good thing. That said, the time has come for this not to have two races. Like, it's good to have one race here for a lot of reasons, for the reasons we just listed of, you know, this is an interesting race and plays out. It's a good market. It's been here a long time. You don't want to pull that away. But do you need two races here? I don't think you do. If those other tracks that we listed have lost second dates for the reasons we listed, why Richmond should also be – Richmond checks those boxes and also shouldn't have a second date.
Look, I agree because the history, even before the next-gen car, for quite a few years now at Richmond, it's not been the action track, right? It's been
10 years? I mean, how long? It's been a long time.
It's been. But, like, listen – Here's my only hesitation with this. Number one, you're losing a short track, and there's already not enough short tracks. Now, obviously, it can be very much argued that short tracks are not good right now, so where's the argument to have short tracks on the schedule? It's hard to sit there in the next-gen era of this and look at the race tonight for the most part and be like, oh, yeah, you got it. This is great. Like, this is a great product. That's tough. I mean, the other part of this, too, it's like, I can't shake the feeling. Like, Richmond used to be P1, my favorite track. Better than Bristol, better than Martinsville, like, better than Darlington, whatever. Like, I loved Richmond. It was a freaking awesome race. It was so fun. And this place used to be completely packed. I mean, now you've had the grandstands have been totally torn down on the back stretch and all this stuff. I mean, I remember the days we used to have, like, 7.5 hours, you'd get there before the Richmond race. It'd be completely packed with traffic. You still have to wait in traffic no matter what time you got there. The race was sold out, over 100,000 people. It was great stuff. So, like, I feel like the track is still there. Like, that's how can you, is it a mistake to give up on that place instead of trying to fix whatever it is with the tires, the cars, whatever.
That's the problem. Like, it feels like you've tried everything.
I guess, but
you've,
like,
tried tires.
You know,
cars.
Good racing can exist there, right?
The only thing that seems to work is to add water to the track. Is, like, really, literally run the sprinklers between the stages and wet down the track, and we're going to run treaded tires. I'm not kidding when I say that. Make
Bernie
it like
Ecclestone.
A dirt track. That seemed to be the only thing that worked.
We used to have a dirt race. Now we're going to have a wet race where we just water the track every, like a Zamboni.
But you laugh, but, like, we sit there and talked about how stage one was entertaining and we had all of these things, like, and then it went away because why? The track dried. So yeah. There you go. There's your solution.
You can't do that though. Can you? I mean,
No, I'm realistically, no, you can't do it. I mean,
they can do anything. They can do anything.
Why not? Why not? We race in a freaking football field now. Like, you race in downtown Chicago. Like, this is NASCAR 2024, man. You can do anything you want.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you just have the water truck keep coming through.
We're going to see NASCAR track workers between stage breaks out there with buckets of water.
No, it would literally be
up
like
there in turn two. Guys, it used to be like, hey, there's a wet spot in turn two. Now it's no, guys, there's a dry spot in turn two. We need you to water that down.
Yeah, that dry line, you know, we can't have that.
It's going to be like Mario Kart. You're going to have each car, like, have a little water, like, tank thing. They leak water on the track.
I mean, they have a truck that basically can water the track to clean the track, like at Daytona when they need to wash, you know. They used it the speed weeks. Anyway, that's just my hesitation though. Like, I've seen good races there. I've seen excellent races there. You know it can happen again, but at this point, you're right. I mean, I don't really see what's the case to keep it at two. It's really
there isn't. There isn't. And listen, two things I want to clarify or say here. You're right about Atlanta and Darlington, and I think that shows you that if you're a track that loses a date, it isn't like you're forever sentenced to one date on the calendar. Now, is it hard to get back to? Sure. But Atlanta and Darlington have shown you can go back, you can go from 2-1 back to 2 again and make it work. So that there's that hope there. And the short track argument, you're right. We want more short tracks. We want more short tracks, even though the short track package doesn't work. However, I will say this. And last few years, we've added races at North Wilkesboro, the Coliseum, Iowa, and Bristol has gone back to concrete. So let's just say that's four short tracks there. And you're counting Martinsville and everything else. We want more short tracks. We've got a good number of short tracks. Like, you know, you look at the 90s and the heyday of NASCAR and everything, and everybody talks about that in the early 2000s. You only had six short track races. You had, you know, Martinsville, Richmond, and Bristol. And if you want to go back to the 90s, you had North Wilkesboro in there too. So you had eight. We're like right in that ballpark there. And so I feel like we want more short tracks, but we're checking that box, you know? So
it's hard to argue
you.
With that. It's hard to argue.
I hear
with
you.
That.
I look at this and it's just like it's time. Like and I understand. Like this is the Easter racing Easter Sunday is a made for TV thing and everything. So you have to kind of take away the crowd and everything like that. But let's not lie. Like attendance here has been an issue for a while.
Yeah, I mean I've told this before, but I remember. I was not into NASCAR in college. I went to University of Delaware, so not that far driving-wise from Richmond. And I had a classmate who was like, hey, like let's go to this NASCAR race. And at the time, this is like 2002-ish or something, so it was booming, right? Like NASCAR was – and we tried to get tickets like the week of the race. And again, it was sold out. You could not get tickets, over 100,000 people. So to see it go from that to what it is now, it's just like, wow, it's crazy, but it's reality also. Now, you also brought up Easter. That's a separate conversation as well. Like, obviously this was the first time trying this at Easter after a few of the Bristol dirt races. NASCAR never used to race on Easter. I mean, who wants this? Who is asking for this aside from TV at this point?
Why is it a bad thing?
Why is it a bad thing to race on
why
Easter?
Why is it a bad thing?
Well, it's a very sacred, like, holy holiday for a lot of people.
No, stop. Hang on. The NCAA, the tournament today was going on today. I didn't hear anybody complaining about those great games going on. People were like, oh my God, that's on Easter. I'm not going to watch. Why is that happening? The Masters often has its final round on Sunday, Easter Sunday. I've watched it with my dad on Easter. It was a great, Tiger Woods won on Easter Sunday. So other sports do. Major League Baseball today played a bunch of games today. All of their teams played. And a lot of their teams played at noon, 1 o'clock, which is a really rough time, I would say, if you're going to do Easter. At least NASCAR does it at night, where, by the way, most times Easter's done with. You've had your church service, you've had your brunch, you've had your family time. You're home usually on Sunday night. Like, I understand it's a holiday. It's a religious holiday. I get there is zero issue with running on Easter. I'm sorry. You are a professional sport. Professional sports compete on holidays. NFL does it on Christmas. Their NFL is doing a Wednesday game on Christmas just because it's Christmas and they want to own that day. Like, this is how it is. And then when your TV partner is paying you all that they are paying you and they want to run Easter, you run Easter. On prime time, on national TV, hell yeah, you do it.
I would argue a couple things. Number one, the tradition of not running on important holidays. Mother's Day, now that's gone too. And Easter. You know, of course you don't care about Mother's Day. Other people care. And number two, this is, you know, the NFL, whatever, is not, they're not out there billing themselves as a family sport for so many generations. NASCAR's been, this is a family sport. We emphasize family values kind of thing, right? We want people to be with their families. And this is not that. So when you're out there saying family sport, and we don't race on Easter.
Baseball builds itself as a family sport, but okay.
But baseball hasn't made it a show for generations of saying we don't race on these holidays. Now they do because trying to get more TV ratings. So I don't love it. I think this is our long season as it is, the longest season in sports. To be able to give people, just throw them a little bone and give them a couple holidays off. that
they do have holidays off. You get Thanksgiving, you get Christmas, you get New Year's off. No, don't shake your head at me. You know I'm right. I am right. You don't get Thanksgiving, you don't get Christmas, you don't get New Year's off. Yes, you do.
Yeah, because that's not in the season.
But okay, my point is, if you look at this sport compared to others, I bet you NASCAR had races on fewer holidays than other professional sports play games on holidays.
No.
What is it? Like, what? Okay.
This is the longest season. They're going to overlap on. You're missing July 4th with your family. You're missing. I know
NASCAR
you don't care.
Doesn't do July 4th anymore, really.
What?
Depending on when the holiday falls, they don't race on July 4th.
Yeah, but a lot of times people are missing, you know, it's the day before the race or whatever. Every single person in the garage is missing Valentine's Day with their loved one.
That's not a holiday, but okay.
It's the little things when you are dedicating, you're a crew member or a team member, you're dedicating your life to being away from your family, to watching, to making race cars go fast, and you have the longest season to be able to have some family. I mean, you're not going to. You don't care about this, so why would you? Of course,
I'm
not going to
be. I don't want to say an asshole. I don't want to say that word. I don't think we can swear on this podcast, but I want to be that guy. But like,
you
this
are
is
that
what
guy.
We sign up. But this is what we sign up for. Like, and including us, this is part of it. Like, yeah, does the travel suck? And does it? Do we
I'm
work
not
holidays?
Complaining. I don't.
I'm
I
not
went on Easter egg hunt with my
but
kids.
This
I'm
is
home.
Part of it. This is what you sign up for. This is this is part of it, and I know it sucks, and it's not fair. And is there a better way that NASCAR can manage this? Heck yeah. Like I have said, like if you're going to race on Easter, do it at Martinsville because it's in NASCAR's backyard and you don't have to fly.
Same difference. I mean,
it's not a one hour flight
or whatever.
No, but you have to fly. Like then you've got to worry about cost or anything
two
else.
Two and
like,
a half hour drive.
You got to go to and from the airport or anything else. It's a lot easier it's a lot more manageable. You get more time at home this way.
This is such a bad argument.
No, it's not. It's not a bad thing to race on a, every other sport would like you said to them, hey, we're going to put you on prime time on Sunday night, which is the most watched TV night of the week on national TV. Would you be interested in doing that? They're like, yes.
All right. Please. So where do you want to race then? If Richmond's going to lose a day?
I mean, if you're going to do it, I have consented. You either do it at North Wilkesboro or you do it at Martinsville because you're in NASCAR's backyard. It's much easier on the crews. They're home. It's easy to get to and from. They can be there quickly. They get more time at home with their family. You don't have to fly them. And I will tell you, not everyone flies because they look at it and they're like, oh, you know, I got to get in a seat in a plane, blah, blah, blah. And I will tell you, I talked to some people. They had to work the Xfinity race yesterday and they missed their planes home because of that. And they weren't able to. They're like, yeah, I could have prayed me. Maybe I could have gotten on a plane. It would have been a little hard, but I got to be back here, and it was a lot. So if you do Martinsville or North Wilkesboro, it's a lot easier to hop in the car and get home. And so if you're going to do it that way.
Nothing says enjoyable spring Easter like a night race at Martinsville where it's 40 degrees and everybody's freezing.
If it's up to me, we'd go somewhere. They could go a short track somewhere warm. But I mean, the weather was here. The Richmond is more north than Martinsville, and the weather was fine here today. So,
all right. Well, that's fine. Listen, we all have lots of opinions like this, not this one in particular, on The Athletic this week. I will have my top five column, my 12 questions. It's Justin Haley this week. You have something about Richmond, I know, coming.
Yep.
So you're going to write about Richmond, you just said. I also have a story that I can't talk about yet, but something I've been working hard on. Not NASCAR, but it's coming out on Tuesday. It's under an embargo, so I can't talk about it. But I think it's a story that people find interesting, hopefully. So obviously, we'd appreciate your support. The $1 a month deal is over if you're listening to this as of April 1st, but we appreciate all the people that chimed in with hopping on that deal, all the support from people, so we can keep going to the track, getting you these stories. Is there anything else that I missed that you have coming up or something story-wise this week?
This week?
I don't even know what day it is right now at this point.
So. Yeah, everything's a blend. We got a lot. I mean, we got a lot of cool features in the hopper, I will just say. A lot of cool things. And then obviously breaking news, stuff like that.
So that's theathletic.com/NASCAR to find all of our coverage. You won't find the Was It a Good Race poll there, but it's time to talk about the Was It a Good Race poll. I don't even, what happened last week? Where were, I don't remember where we were last week.
Hang on. We were at Texas, and that actually got like 50-50 in the voting. Oh, 50-50, which second week in a row where like I look at the voting and I'm like, I'm okay. Yeah.
Did I win that?
Was interesting. Yeah, you won it.
Oh, I won. Oh, so I have to go first. Oh,
yes, thank goodness.
All right, guys. Well, this is a tough one because look, it was going to be, I thought it was going to be on track for close to the worst Richmond race, right? The worst Richmond race, I can't believe this, surprisingly, is only 44.3%. You would have thought it would be much lower because there's been some stinkers. But I was like, all right, this is going to be in the low 40s, maybe in the 30s. No, that wasn't the case. This had kind of some Kentucky-ish vibes, though. Do you know what race I'm talking about for Kentucky?
2020,
Cole Custer. Bad race. Terrible.
Restart of his life.
Then it sets up late caution, sets up a restart. Cole Custer, very thrilling finish, right? And you're like, whoa, that was... Okay. So I look at that. That one got a 48.9.
Mm.
So I think that is sort of in the ballpark, right? Like this should be around 50-ish. I really don't see a lot of great redeeming values to this race, but it got interesting at the end, gave us something to talk about. So now, again, are people going to vote high for a Denny Hamlin win? No. Are people going to vote high for a race where they thought it, you know, a caution shouldn't have come out, where the restart, they didn't call it, where, you know, all this stuff, right? I don't think they're going to love it. But if a Richmond race hasn't been below 44 before, what's going to make it do it now? So that's, yeah. I think I'm just going to go right with that same Kentucky number and just say 48.9. I have no, I don't know. I could be way off here, but what do you think?
I mean, there are a lot of reasons to vote this down, but I don't think it's going to be that low. I debated about this a lot. I was kind of bouncing some numbers around with some folks before.
Of course you were bouncing some numbers around.
I'm sorry. What's wrong with strategizing and trying to...
That is cheating, as we've talked about.
So talking with people about the good race poll in advance of the good race poll is cheating?
I would say yes. I would say that is stretching the rules, just like Denny Hamlin stretched the rules of the
restart.
I
have to fly into this blind and not have any conversations with anybody else.
Well,
and
that, yes, that would
be
the idea.
I'm not asking, hey, what would you vote? I'm just saying, hey, what?
You're walking in through the media center. You're going, hey, what do you think the number is going to be? I think this. Oh, that's a good idea. You're right. That's not fair.
I'm sorry.
Who,
I have friends
who voice
their opinion.
Who am I talking to except these quiet track pictures behind me?
They're very nice, by the way. It looks really sharp, man. Your track photos, by the way, are so good. Like, I mean, you really could put together like
I was urged by several people in my life, my wife and my mom, to greatly improve my background. They did not like the shelf, so I've rearranged my desk. I bought these mixed tiles. You know mixed tiles? This is not an advertisement, by the way. Yeah. I put
looks great.
20 of my quiet track pictures into mixed tiles.
How did you decide which 20 to do? I was curious
about
that.
Randomly, for the
most
part.
So good.
Anyway,
you do take great photos, though.
What's your guess? What's your guess after you're consulting with all your friends?
I'm sorry that I'm popular. I'm sorry that I have friends. Excuse me. I'm sorry that people want to. They're looking out for my benefit. My fault. I'm gonna go 50.
What? I just said 48.9. You're like, well, I don't think it was gonna be that low, and then you go, I'm gonna go 50.
Yeah, I'm safeguarding.
Okay. Well. That sounds like a
don't roll your
much...
eyes at me. You do this crap to me all the time about I'm gonna
right,
get a
and then you stand on your high horse. You're like, I don't do that.
I'm 2 percentage points away from you. Like I gave you a buffer. I even gave you a buffer. You never give me a buffer. I gave you a buffer.
Okay, so you're not Price is Righting me, right?
But thank
you're
you.
Just hedging. Oh, no,
hedging. Safeguard.
I wasn't agreeing with you. I was okay. You know what else?
Safeguarding.
This just sounds like the whole SHR conversation all over again because Josh Berry had a great night, great run going.
Yeah,
he ends up finishing 11th, but I mean, he was on it, right? And I see you tweeting, as I've said on Sirius this week, I predicted that SHR was going to have a very good race, that this was very possible. And I said, well, I could have told you that after the Las Vegas race, which I did, didn't I?
If you can see the future, and I will say it again, if you can see the future this well, buy a lottery ticket because you're doing something right.
It wasn't seeing the future. We saw the first race. They were good. They were better. They were improved.
Okay.
No?
I mean, sure. I mean, yes, they've been improved, but I'm not, again, sample size. I'm not going to base something off of one race. I want to see more. I've seen more. We've seen this now consistently week after week on non-super speedways. Yeah, they're doing well. Right. And then in all the seriousness, this just bodes well. Like, even amid SHR struggles the last few years, what kind of tracks have they been good on? It's been Richmond, Martinsville, Phoenix, New Hampshire's, right? These are the tracks. So even amid that, they've been good here. They've hit on something. And specifically related to Barry, the last SHR win, by the way, came here with Kevin Harvick. And that 14 runs really well here. Rodney's good manager of race. So they're like, you look at this, you're like, man, yeah. And they ran well at Bristol. Like, they're building this year. Noah's been fast. Like, kudos to them. Like, I mean, even with everything else they've done this year, like, this was just an opportunity for them to have it, to, you know, have a good run. But they're doing it in all sorts of tracks. And it's bode well for them what they're doing going forward. And Barry especially has been the last few weeks, you know, Bristol and here is really running well. And Gregson, man, it's like, you take away that penalty, that points penalty they had, like, he's in the conversation for a playoff spot.
Yeah, he finished 12th tonight. He's unfortunately 30th in points. How many points is his penalty? 30, 50?
35, I think.
Yeah. So let's see, if you give him 35, let's see, he is up there. Yeah, he's at least in the mix.
He's in the mix.
He's not that close. He's not that close, but he's at least closer.
He's a lot better than 30th.
Yeah. I mean, he's around, you know, sort of Eric Jones, Michael McDowell kind of territory, I believe. So, yeah, by the way, speaking of people moving up the standings, Logano with his second place finish, yeah, we were so worried about him early in the season. Now he is only 14 points out of a playoff spot, picked up three more spots in the standings. He's up to 19th. So seems like he's going to recover. He was going to have a shot to win that race, ends up finishing second. And yeah, I mean, it's still, you look at it now, because John Hunter Nemechek fell out of the playoffs and he'd been 15th. But he was, you know, doing really great. But now you look at it and there's really no, I mean, you could call Suarez the surprise because we didn't have him in our playoff picks. But other than that, I think everybody in my playoff picks except Logano is back in the top 16 now, if I'm seeing this. So
you are right, because you and I only differed on one.
Didn't have Bubba, right?
I had Bubba out. You had Bubba in. And yeah, I mean, Logano's the only
guy.
You had Eric Jones in. That's right.
Right.
Eric Jones.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So yeah, I mean, this is stacking up, even not even wins wise, but points wise, this is all shaking out. You know, you look at Tyler Reddick, right? Like, you know, didn't have those good finishes to start. Well, he's 10th in points now. And Bowman. Oh, it was Bowman. What's going on with Bowman? He's 11th in points. So everybody that you thought would, you know, they're all coming up there.
Bowman, can we mention Bowman really quick? Like, stringing together three, he had two consecutive fourth place finishes coming into tonight. I know the finish isn't there, but they had speed again.
They're
running well. Like, they qualified well too, which is something they haven't done. It feels like they're going to get a win here.
Ty Gibbs is still fourth in points, but I thought, you know, with the speeding penalty he had, I really still thought he would have gotten back up there, because Bell had a penalty. Late penalty when they were trying a different strategy. What was it? The second to last stop, maybe? He still got all the way up to sixth. Chase Elliott, by the way, was his first top five in like 16 races or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember where I saw that stat. I don't even know if that's something along those lines, but he needed that as well. So
he did. He did. And Blaney, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, was the points leader. Back-to-back race.
Wow, I tell you what, Blaney in practice, I mean, I know the Group A guys looked better, but Blaney in practice looked pretty good on the long run. I thought he was going to be, and he just never, all night, never had it. I mean, they struggled all night. That was really odd. Yeah, he's down to fifth in points now.
Yeah, Penske this year, outside of super speedways, I don't really feel like they've had all of their cars running well. It's been hit or miss. Like, Logano ran exceptionally well tonight. Blaney was off. It's just like they're all over the board.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, to see Logano pop up there, you're like, okay, maybe they've.
Yep. Bubba, another good run where the result doesn't match the performance. And again, mistakes are really dooming this team.
Yeah. And they and he said they had a come to Jesus meeting this week.
Yeah. Yeah, he said not this week, but earlier a few weeks ago.
Okay.
He was up just frustrated by like these mistakes happening, or like costing, like running well, but we keep making mistakes, shooting ourselves in the foot. He was frustrated, like, hey, I don't want to start off behind again. I want to like get off to a good start and continue to carry that forward. And they felt like they weren't doing that, and they felt like coming out of that meeting, they were in a good spot. And they also, looking at the schedule, tonight, Martinsville, Texas, Dega, Kansas, like there's this stretch of races here. They feel like they can win one of these, at least one, if not multiple. And so they really want to, you know, put an emphasis on that. And they had a great run. They were going to finish top five, and then that issue on pit road. So when you're a playoff driver, when you're a guy in the bubble, you're throwing away points like that. That's a tough thing.
Yep. All right. Any final thoughts? Martinsville next week. You will be at that one as well.
Yeah.
I'm relegated to my quiet track office here again.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. I mean, I like Martinsville. I know the short track
is going
to
be like this. Yeah. What's it going to be like? Are we looking at another?
I don't know. I mean, what's the tires going to be like? That's the question, right?
Yeah.
Like, do we need to water down Martinsville too?
Let's. I really hope that you don't give anybody any ideas here, but yeah. Talk about. I mean, yeah. All right. Well, you need to get.
I can see cars like they're running like through speed. They're running at speed through like turns of one. Like they're having to run through like a sprinkler that's going on to like keep the track wet at all times.
Like a slip and slide.
Like just, kids through the like yeah. running like kids running through the sprinkler. The cars are driving through the sprinkler.
Oh geez. Yeah, that you know what? If that happens, and the sport has jumped the shark that much, it's probably just time for me to go do something else. I mean, it's not even worth ranting. It's just time to just be like. Tip my hat and say good luck to everybody if that's how it's going to be. But anyway, hopefully that doesn't happen. We appreciate all of you for listening, especially those of you on the live stream who stayed up late with us. It's now well past 1 a.m. Eastern time. It's not Easter anymore.
No.
So everybody, thanks so much as always for listening, and we will talk to you next time on The Teardown. See everybody.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.